The spirit of 93, as it came to, well, Valmy, I have to say, parenthetically, was a kind of preview. After that, the French armies of the revolution were not nearly so successful in dealing with the armies of the old regime until 93. But it was a preview. It was a preview, a tantalizing for the French preview of the future and an ominous one for the old conservative powers. The spirit of 93, then, as this new levée en masse produced army would inspire, drove the armies out of France, drove the coalition armies out of France, and didn't stop there. The French Revolutionary armies invaded the Austrian Netherlands, occupied the west bank of the Rhine. Indeed, they had gone over from being on the defensive with the revolution hanging by a thread to an almost messianic mission now, which was to defend the revolution at home and to spread the blessings of liberty, as they put it, abroad. However, later in 93, a number of revolutionary generals defected, which sent shockwaves through Paris. This seemed to be a stab in the back of the armies, something that might reverse this new, very promising direction of the military. And so to suppress enemies at home, the Committee on Public Safety centralized the administration and set up, quote, surveillance committees to spy, to root out reactionaries and subversives, not only in France, but all over, not only in Paris, but all over France. Revolutionary tribunals were established throughout the country, and a new instrument, a new weapon of revolution made its appearance. That was the guillotine. The guillotine used to behead victims of the terror. In 1793, Marie Antoinette and over 2,500 victims fell to the guillotine in Paris. And in France as a whole, it is estimated that perhaps as many as 20,000 would fall victim to execution by this means, including many leaders of the Girondin faction. The guillotine was seen, I think, when one thinks of the revolution, the sort of popular associations with the revolution, I think even more than the tricolor of the revolution, even more than the storming of the Bastille, I think this sense of the guillotine somehow seems to capture the essence of the radicalism of revolution, certainly of the Reign of Terror. At the time, the guillotine, interestingly enough, was viewed as the great leveler. It was named for a medical member of the Constituent Assembly, a professor of anatomy at the University of Paris, Dr. Joseph Guillotin. Now, he didn't develop it. That was the work of a Dr. Louis in France. It would be the guillotine, this instrument, would, as Dr. Joseph Guillotin argued, would be more humane, more efficient, and more democratic, more in keeping with the egalitarianism of the revolution than simply having a man with an axe behead those who were condemned. Why was this? Well, the guillotine as a machine was clean, it was efficient. In the Ancien Régime and in the early days of the revolution, families of means finding themselves in an impossible position with one of their loved ones condemned to death by the executioner's axe, would pay additional monies to make sure that the axeman did it right. There was an awful lot of sloppy work done so that people did not necessarily die at the first swing of the axe. So the guillotine, given I think one already sees the kind of radical never-never land of the thinking of this particular phase of the revolution, the guillotine was seen, as I said, not only as being more efficient, speedy, humane, because the victims died instantly, but it was also democratic. Even if one didn't have means, one could afford to have one's, could be beheaded without paying additional costs. It had been in use in Italy, but had been recently greatly improved by this Dr. Louis in France, and would certainly become the major instrument of the Reign of Terror.